So a woman was walking on the beach in Southern California, and she spies this bottle that had washed up on shore. And picking it up, she notices that there's a cork stuck in the end. Pulls out the cork. What do you suppose happens? A genie comes straight out of that bottle and floats in front of her. "I'm so glad you let me out of there," he said. "I've been bottled up for 1,000 years, and while I'd like to grant you the traditional 3 wishes, I'm a bit rusty. I'd like to honor those 3, but I think I only have 1 wish in me. What can I do for you?" Well, the astonished woman collected her thoughts, paused for a minute, and thought, "I've always wanted a vacation in Hawaii, but since I'm afraid to fly and I get seasick on ships, I've never been able to go. So my wish is that you could build me a highway from Los Angeles to Honolulu. Then I could drive to Hawaii and have the vacation of my dreams." Well, the genie, too, thought about it for a while and got a little frustrated. He said, "Lady, do you know what you're asking? Building a highway over the Pacific Ocean would require an amazing feat of engineering. Do you have any idea of the problem of setting the caissons and pilings in that water? It's several miles deep." "Why, the Pacific Ocean is over a mile deep. And I'd like to help you, but I think you better ask for something else, something a little less grand." Well, the woman agreed. "Well," she said, "I wanted to go on a wonderful vacation with my husband. I think it'd be good for the two of us to get away. We've been married 20 years, and I still don't understand him. I've read the books, done all the homework, and just don't think I have him figured out. He does something really stupid, and it's like we're back to square one. What makes him so competitive and distant? What makes men so controlling and arrogant sometimes? My wish is that I could have complete understanding of my husband." Well, the genie too thought about that for a minute. And finally, after several minutes of thoughts, he said, "Would you prefer a 2-lane or a 4-lane?" So suppose for a minute genies really do exist. And suppose for a minute you happen to happen upon one. And suppose for a minute that you're given that same one wish, although hopefully from a slightly more with it genie than this poor lady had. Suppose all of that actually happened to you. Then what? Then what would your choice be? What would you ask the genie for? Fame, fortune, looks, personality? What would it be, that one wish? Well, good wise old King Solomon gets it one step better than a genie. He gets God himself in a dream to offer him whatever his heart desires. That's way better than a genie any day. So if you got that offer from God, what would you ask for? Well, Solomon was already one of the wealthiest and powerful men in the world. His fame was known throughout the ancient world. He already had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's a lot. So that takes a lot of things off the menu of what to ask for. Luckily, Solomon takes the high ground and asks for something useful and noble. So when God tells Solomon in today's reading that he can have whatever his heart desires, he says, "I'd like some wisdom, please. Thank you very much." How would you respond to a chance like that? Suppose God says to us that we can have anything we want or always wanted. So we'd say to God, "Oh, I'd like some wisdom." Really? Would we really say that? In a sermon as your pastor, that's how I'd answer, of course. But I'm not so sure I'd really mean it. I think I might go for the cash, if truth be known. Lots of cash. Small, untraceable bills, thank you. I would, of course, tithe to the church all the money I got, though. Absolutely, trust me on that one. And most of us would probably respond like we've hit the lottery and ask for things like money or prestige or power or some other form of instant gratification. We think that maybe sometimes Solomon isn't so smart because he kind of gives a dumb answer. But like with everything else, context is everything. But King Solomon is a lot shrewder than some of us. And it helps that he already has lots of money. That never hurts, right? I think that for Solomon, he places this encounter with the Lord in context with the others. He knows that this isn't just some isolated chance encounter with God. He knows that God has been faithful so many times in the past and has every reason to believe that God will continue to be faithful. And he knows how richly God has already blessed him and his family. He remembers what the Lord has done for his father, David, for the people of Israel, and for Solomon himself. I swear this is not a David sermon, trust me. But as an aside, Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba. And after that unfortunate incident that we already talked about, they go on and have another son, the great King Solomon, the last king of the United Kingdom of Judah and Israel. But that's different history. In asking for wisdom, he shows himself to be wise already. Wise enough to remember what the Lord has done. Wise enough to know that he's young and lacks experience. Wise enough to ask the Lord for an understanding mind. Solomon's remembering God's past actions in context, that's already the beginning of wisdom. Solomon isn't asking to be radically transformed into something other than what he already is. He's not like a student. All right, current students, and all of you are former students. When you fail to crack open a book until the night before the final, and then you pray for an A through divine intervention, that's going to be your study plan, right? You have no time to study, but you got enough time to pray for that A, right? Solomon knows that God, what God has given him, and he knows what he lacks. And rather than waste the opportunity on getting more of the same, he asks for what he's lacking and what he knows he needs to be a good ruler for the people God has given him. Today, we have knowledge beyond Solomon's wildest dreams. We humans have never had so much information, cataloged so many facts, had access to so many experts. We surf the net, we can mine information, we can create databases that grow exponentially by the second. We are drowning with information, but we're starving for wisdom. With wisdom, information, knowledge is a blessing. Without wisdom, sometimes it's a curse. It doesn't take a wise person to see how much knowledge is available to us. And it certainly doesn't take a wise person to see that despite all of that, that the quality of our shared life, how we live in harmony with each other, how we care for the weaker members of our society, how we define quality of life has in so many ways not improved. In fact, there are many places in our shared lives where you might say we're worse off than previous generations. Solomon had it easy. If you continue in the story, he has two women come forward to see him, both claiming custody of an infant son. That's all he had to face. Heck, we could solve that with a simple DNA test in about 2 minutes today. But it'll take all of the wisdom of Solomon and the grace of God to sort out the issues that confront us in our modern life. Issues of life and death, quality of life, right to life, living together in mutual respect and mercy and kindness. Those take amazing wisdom, the kind of wisdom that only God traffics in. Here's the rub. Wisdom is not immunity from stupidity. We can still do dumb things. And if you read further in 1 Kings, the story of Solomon, you can find all the dumb things wise old Solomon did. He still didn't have all of the answers for his world, and we by no means have the answers for our world. Even with all of the information we have, the world seems to be tipping further and further into disaster sometimes, don't you think? we respect and we care for each other less and less. We feel it our right to humiliate and shame those who think differently than we do. We've grown more suspicious of people who look different than us or act differently than us. As our knowledge grows, we treat each other, I think, more and more carelessly. And as the amount of information we have increases, our tolerance and our patience with each other has gone down the toilet. We're bombarded 24/7 with news. How many news channels do you think you have on your whatever flavor of cable or dish or satellite you have? 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know how many different 24-hour news programs. But it's more and more half-truth at best, and more full of personal agenda. And every news outlet traffics in that misinformation. We are info-rich, but wisdom-poor. To be truly wise, to admit that we don't have all the answers, but that we do know where to go for help. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And that word fear is best translated as a healthy and informed respect and awe. We are truly wise when we remember how God has already blessed us and look forward to future blessings. We are at our wisest when we remember that God created a good world and gave us the gift of life. When we remember that God has a plan for us, that we are all sinners, and that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and that we all stand in need of forgiveness, and that forgiveness and healing are given to us in Jesus Christ, that wisdom is not so much to pray for miracles, but to do our homework and ask for God's help, and that this help is nowhere more present than when we encounter Christ through the church gathered in His name. And that though we may not always like the answers we get, if we ask for help and honestly seek God's wisdom, God will help. So where do we go from here? Info worship? Or do we remain the people of God who are wise enough to know that we have been entrusted with the gift of life, which is so precious, which is so fragile, which is so beautiful, that it demands we treat each other as the precious children of God that we were created to be. But most importantly, that we safeguard in each one of us our dignity. How we've so unwisely grown to discount and discard that basic human dignity because we've been trained to justify poor behavior, right? And as I watch the news these past, it just gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse till you can't stand it. We dismiss one another as having no value because, you know, that person is a justa. You know, a justa. Fill that in with your favorite gender or age group, or political affiliation, or religious affiliation, or immigration status, or any other category that we use to discount, to disqualify people from deserving our respect. Solomon says, "So give your servant a receptive heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And God said to him, "Because you've requested this and did not ask for long life or riches for yourself, but have asked for discernment, I will therefore do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and understanding heart." Wisdom does indeed start with the healthy and reformed respect and awe for God. But we can't have that until we learn healthy and informed respect for those whom God has created out of God's love. Otherwise, we're not wise. We're not even wise guys, and we're certainly not smart. We're just kind of smart. Well, you fill in the blank to that one. You know what I mean. Information wise, information rich, and wisdom poor, until we learn to value each other as the beautiful child that God has created each one of us to be. Amen.